Okay, we're going to start here on the two dots on the top of Pechet and Aleph, where it says, Vayitiatzvu b'tachtita har, that they stood at the base of the mountain. Amar Rav Dimi bar Chamo bar Chaso, Olameid, Shekafa Kodesh Baruch Olehem et ahar kegigit. Very famous Gemara. It teaches that Hashem held the mountain over their heads, kegigit, like a barrel. Amar Lehem, Imatem mikablim haTorah, if you accept the Torah, mutaf, everything will be fine. V'imlav, Sham teheg buratchem, here will be your burial. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the obvious response to something like this is, Mikan moda rabado raito. This is a big excuse, way out, of being responsible for the Torah. Meaning that if you were forced to accept the Torah, then if you don't keep the Torah, you can always say, I really didn't want to accept it, we didn't accept it willingly, it was forced upon us. Amar Rava, afo pikein hadur kiblua bimei Achashverosh. Despite that, there was a willing acceptance of the Torah in the time of Achashverosh. Dichtiv, as it says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, that they kept and accepted. Kimu, ma-shekiblu kvar. They accepted or they kept ma-shekiblu kvar, what they had already accepted earlier. That was that they re-accepted the Torah. There was a new Kabbalat Torah at the time of Achashverosh, a reaffirmation of that which had taken place at Har Sinai. Now, obviously, there are many pshatim that have been given. It's a very difficult Gemara to say that Bnei Israel were forced to accept the Torah, especially given the fact that it says in the Torah twice, once in Yitro, when Bnei Israel are asked if they want the Torah, they say Naseh, and then in Parshat Mishpatim it says Naseh v'nishma. It seems like they willingly accepted it. So there are different interpretations. Just give you a quick couple. One is that it refers to Torah Shebe'tav versus Torah Shebe'alpeh. The Bnei Israel accepted willingly the Torah Shebe'tav. That which was quote-unquote forced upon them was Torah Shebe'alpeh. Doesn't necessarily have to mean that they were literally forced to take it, but it was an integral part. It's a part and parcel, a package that comes with the Torah Shebichtav. You can't have the Torah Shebichtav without the Torah Shebe'alpeh. And that's what it means. Hashem says, now that you've accepted Torah Shebichtav, you must also take with that the Torah Shebe'alpeh. Another possibility is that after they accepted it willingly, there were reasons for them to back out. The pomp and circumstance surrounding Mamad Har Sinai might have frightened them. We'll see that later on in today's Gemara. And that might have taken away their ability to want to continue with the acceptance of the Torah. So kafalayim harki gigit means once they already accepted it willingly, that Hashem pressed forward, not allowing them to back out. Also, the fact that they re-accepted in the time of Esther, in the time of Achashverosh, many, again, attribute that to being a separate acceptance of Torah Shebe'alpeh, not just the Torah Shebichtav, but it's a way for them to reconcile with a very difficult Gemara, which says that they were forced to accept the Torah, to come to a point where there was a willing acceptance of the Torah, to say that we are obligated to the Torah. Gemara continues, Amar Chizkiya, my dichtiv, what is meant in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mishamai Mishmat Adin, from the heavens you gave over your law, Eretz Yara V'Shakata, the land was fearful and quiet or still. Im Yara Lama Shakata, if it's fearful, why is it still or quiet? Im shakata, if it's silent, lama yara, then why is it afraid? Why is it trembling? I mean, it seems to be that they are opposites. Ela b'tchila yara, in the beginning it was fearful, ulusof shakata, in the end it was still quiet, peaceful. Lama yara, why was it fearful up front? Kidereish lakish, tamereish lakish, maidichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk in Maaseh Bereishit? It says, vayere vayivoker yom ha-shishi. So as opposed to the other days, which don't have the hey ha-yidiyah in front of them, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, has a Hey Yedah in front of it. What does it mean, the sixth day? Hey Yitirah Lamali. What is the extra Hey, the Hey Yedah doing? Lameichit Na Kodesh Baruch Hu Masib Rishit V'mar Lahem. There was a condition, an embedded condition in the creation, that Im Yisrael Mekablim HaTorah Atem Mitkaimim. If they still accept the Torah, you will remain in place, you will stay. If not, it will turn everything back to the original state of tohu vavohu, of nothingness. So the hey ha'yidiyah is yom ha'shishi. Rashi brings two midrashim on the pasuk. Either hey represents chamisha chumshei Torah, that yom ha'shishi, there would be another sixth day, the sixth of Sivan, when they accepted the chamisha chumshei Torah. Or the interpretation that we have here in our Gemara, which is yom ha'shishi, is that the creation, yom ha'shishi is the completion of creation, and that was awaiting Yom HaShishi, the sixth day being Kabbalat Torah, because Maaseh Bereishit was dependent on Bnei Israel's acceptance of the Torah. That's what it's meant, Yom HaShishi. Everything was awaiting this special sixth day. Darash Rav Simai, The point that Bnei Israel said first, we will do, and then we will listen. 600,000 Malachi Asheret came, kol echad v'echad, to each one of Bnei Israel. Kashulo shnei k'tarim, tying upon them two crowns, echad k'neged naseh, echad k'neged nishma. One for their saying of naseh, the other one for nishma. Kevin shechatu Israel, once Bnei Israel sinned with the ego, yardu mea v'esrim ribo malachim, 100,200,000 malachi chabalah, destructive malachim came down, upirkum, and removed them. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, v'it natzlu Bnei Israel at tijyam mehar chorev, that Bnei Israel lost their crowns, which they had attained at Har Chorev, Har Chorev being synonymous with Har Sinai. Tosafot points out, it's not in the Girsa in our Gemara. He says there were some Gemaras that had the Girsa. How did they get to this number of 1,200,000? He says because instead of saying Vayinatzlu, it says Vayitnatzlu. And so therefore, I think it's a double. Double what was. So Vayinatzlu would have been the 600,000. Vayitnatzlu is the 1,200,000. And even though generally we say Midat Tova is greater than Midat Praniyot, he says here too, it really is that way. Because before, one malach put on two crowns. Over here to remove it, they needed a single malach to remove every crown. Still is, the Midah Tova is greater than the Midah Ra'ah because they got double when they were receiving it. But when it was being taken away, they needed one malach to take away each of the crowns that they attained. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, b'chorev ta'anu, b'chorev parku. And chorev they loaded up, and chorev they unloaded. B'chorev ta'anu, k'damran. They loaded up, like we said, they got the crowns when they were at Har Sinai, when they said, Naseh v'nishma, b'chorei parku, d'chtiv, v'itatzlu b'nei Israel. And they lost that same crowns, they were unloaded in the same place after they worshipped the eagle. And Yochanan b'kulan zecha Moshe v'natlan. In the end, all of them ended up with Moshe. He took all of them, the samichlei, because the continuing pasuk is Moshe yikach at the oil. Moshe took the oil and he put it mikutz l'machaneh, meaning that whatever was taken away from B'nai Israel was granted to Moshe Rabbeinu. He became the replacement for all that glory that Bnei Israel had had. Amar Reish Lakish, Atida Kadosh Baruch Hu Achzirom Lanu. In the future, Hashem will return those crowns to us. Shenemar says in the pasuk, Ki Nishayahu Fidei Hashem Yishuvun Uvau Tzina Berina V'Simchat Olam Arosham. Right? People are familiar with it now because of the song. But if Fidei Hashem Yishuvun, those that are redeemed, Hashem will bring back. Uvau B'Tzion Berina, they will come in song to Tzion V'Simchat Olam Arosham, and they will have this everlasting happiness on their head. Simcha Shemei Olam Arosham. The Gemara reinterprets it to say not that they'll have everlasting happiness on their head, but rather happiness Shemei Olam that was once Arosham on their heads, in that the crowns that had once been on their heads will be returned to their heads. Amar Rav Elazar B'Shashi Dimu Yisrael Naseh L'Nishma. At the point that Bnei Yisrael put Naseh before Nishma, Yatzta Bakol V'Amra Lahem. A heavenly voice came out and said to them, Mi Gila Levanai Razeh. Who told my children this secret, Shemalachai Sharet Mishtamshimbo, that the heavenly angels use, Dichtiv, because it says, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav, Hashem blessed his malachim, his angels, Giburei Koach, that are strong and have tremendous strength, Oseh Dvaro, they do his word, Lishmoa B'kol Dvaro, to listen to that which he says. So here you see, again, Bereisha Oseh, but first it says that they do the heeding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hadar Lishmoa, and then they come to listen to what they're instructions were, what they are doing. The same thing here, Bnei Israel acted like the Malachim. Remember that the Malachim are angels that have no choice. They do not have Yitzhar Tov, Yitzhar Ra. Their only purpose is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to act at His will. So it's obvious that Malachim will act Oseh Dvaro, and then Lishma Bikol Dvaro, meaning that they first do because that's their job. They don't have any questions. They don't ask questions. They just do whatever the bidding is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means here, that we were like Malachim, as if we did not have a Yetzer Hara. We said, Naseh, and then Nishma. Seh, meaning that we will heed the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any qualms, without any questions. And then, Lishma, then we'll hear exactly what is being asked of us to heed in the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Chama bar Rav Chanina, May Dichtiv Ketapuach Batzei Ayar, Ken Bini Ben Abanim, like the apple, or the apple tree amongst the trees of the forest, so too is my son, my man, amongst boys that are out there. Salama nipshlu Israel a tapuach. Why are Bnei Israel compared to a tapuach, to an apple? This is a little bit difficult. As Tosafot points out, there's a number of difficulties here. The first of which is that this is from Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, there's a male and a female. Male represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the allegory, and the female is Knesset Israel. Over here, it says, Ketapuach v'atzei ayar, kei b'ni ben abanim, is talking about the man. in Shir HaShirim, which would mean that it's representing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you're talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it's really a Kodesh Baruch Hu that's compared to the Tapuach, not Bnei Yisrael. So that's just one little problem with here, because here it's saying Bnei Yisrael were compared to Tapuach, and Tosavot says you could have brought a better pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, where there it compares the female to the Tapuachim. That's the first issue that he raises. The second one he raises is Amalecha, Ma Tapuach Ze Piryo Kodem Le'alav. Just like this apple tree, the fruits precede the leaves. Af Yisrael Dimu Nasele Nishma. So too, Bnei Yisrael put Naseh before Nishma. We will do before we will listen. Again, this is a problem. The Rabbeinu Tam says we take walks outside all the time, and we see our apple trees, and the leaves are there before the apples. What are they talking about? So he reinterprets it to say that the Tapuach here is really not the apple, but rather an Etrog. He says that there are places where the Targum, Re'echa Pecha Ketapim, translates Tapuchim ke'etrogim, ke'etroga. So that it really means etrog and not tapuach, which is very interesting, considering that one of the options for the Eitz HaDaat is, we saw this in the Gemara Brachot, was an etrog. And the fact that it became an apple in the eyes of many of the artists and many of the myths is interesting, because here the Rabbeinu Tam says the apple and the etrog have some sort of interchangeability. But given that, we know that the etrog stays on the tree from year to year. That's one of the reasons it's called an etrog pre-eitz hadar, mishana l'shana, that it stays on the tree from year to year. You can go and see that. You got to know it's kudumim. You can go see, walk through the etrog pardes, the orchards of the etrogim, and they're massive. They can stay on the tree and they just keep growing until they're huge. So there's the possibility that even though in the present year, the fruits are after the leaves, but if they stay on the tree to the subsequent year, then the fruits are there before the leaves. And that's what he thinks that they're referencing over here, that the fruits are there for the leaves. And this is referencing Bnei Yisrael, Shikdimu Naseh Lenishma. How Tzduki Dechazi LeRovo. He saw that Rovo Dekama Ayin Bishmaito, that he was engrossed in his learning. V'yatva Etzbata Didei Tuteikaro. He was sitting with his fingers below his feet. Kamaitz Behu. And he was crushing them. V'kamavan Etzbatei Damo. And his fingers were giving off blood, releasing blood. I mean, they were under pressure. He was hurting himself, but unbeknownst to him, because he was so engrossed in his learning. You are this rash, impulsive nation that your mouths went before your ears. You answered before you heard. You said naseh before you said nishma. You still are in that rashness, in that impulsiveness. Because look at you here, the way you're acting with Torah. Bereisha ibayluchu lemishma. You should have first listened to what Hashem was offering. Imatzitu kablitu. If you were able to keep the Torah, listen and understand what it was involved, and you could keep it, then you should have accepted it. Vilo lo kabildu. If not, you should have just rejected it. What's this business of accepting it before you even know what you're obligated to do? Amalei anon disaginan vish lemuta. We who are happy, kom tamim, we are shalem with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. On us, pasuk says mishlei tumat yisharim tamchem, with the integrity of those that are righteous, tamchem, that guides us. So integrity and righteousness are our guide. Hanach inche disagan beluta. You, I mean, he doesn't say you, but he says people that are satisfied with excuses. I mean, that they're willing to check out the Torah first, see if they really want it. They don't want it. And you, the subsequent part of the pasuk, the remainder of pasuk, tibbo, the selef bugdim yishadim. And the perverseness, or the perversion of those that rebel, those that are unfaithful, yishadim, will destroy them. So those that are tumat hamim, those that are shalem in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they say, we believe whatever Hashem says is going to be for our good. We accept the Torah, yisharim tamchem. They will be led on a righteous path, on a straight path. But those b'selef, those that choose perverseness, dim, those that are unfaithful, they don't trust the Hashem. They want to see what's there before they accept it. They yishadim, they will be destroyed. So he was rejecting this stukiz understanding of what it meant to say naseh v'nishma. He looked at it negatively, saying that that was an impulsive, rash decision that doesn't make sense, and it was a mistake. And he says back to them, no, it was a sign of faith, it was a sign of tamim, of being shalem in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a certain amount of trust that God would only do that which is good for us. And that's what we look at, not at the rashness or the impulsiveness, but rather that we exhibited tremendous faith in Hashem, that whatever He would give us would be for our good, and that's why we said naseh v'nishma. Right, and what you mentioned, David, that here, that it's an argument between a tztuki and Rava, who is obviously a prushi, that their arguments really revolve around Torah Shebaal Peh and the Rabbanan's ability to interpret the psukim, would support the position that before this idea that the Torah Shebaal Peh was the key factor in terms of the acceptance of Naseh v'Nishma, that they were willing to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh as well as Torah Shebichtav, that there was more than just that which was given in writing. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonatan, my dichtiv, what is meant in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, libovtani achoti kala, libovtini bechat meinayich. Libovtini, you've ravished my heart, achoti, my sister, kala, my bride, libovtini bechat meinayich. You have ravished my heart with one of your eyes. Kila bechat meinayich. At first, it was with one of your eyes. Likashetasi bishteinayich. But when you do it, then it is with both of your eyes. So when you had the Kabbalah, then you had with one eye. But when you did it, and you actually accepted the Torah, and then act in accordance with the Torah, then it's with two eyes. Meaning that you have a double credit. You have a single credit for accepting the Torah, you have a double credit for accepting the Torah, and then doing it, being Shomer, the Torah. Amrula, aluva, kala, zana betoch chupata. It is shameful, embarrassing, chutzpah, that the kala, the bride, is unfaithful under the chupa, under the canopy. Meaning that, what is he referencing here? He's referencing to Bnei Yisrael, who, at the chupa, at their wedding between Hashem and them at Mamad Har Sinai, immediately afterwards they do the Maseh Egel, the Chet Egel, and that is chutzpah, that they couldn't even move away from the place of the canopy, the wedding, and they're already mizana right there. Amar Rav Mari brother Vachmo, Maikra. What's the pasuk? Ad shamelech b'misibo nirdi natan recho. So while the king is b'misibo, is reclining in his feast, nirdi natan recho, my nerd gave off its smell. It was released. Seems to be something that's premature over here. Bimara is darshaning that the ad shamelech b'misibo nirdi natan recho is that Hashem took his fragrance somewhere else, that he gave it somewhere else. Shem was disappointed in Bnei Israel's behavior, and therefore he pointed his fragrance, the goodness, somewhere else. Amar Rav Adain Chavuta Hi Gaban. But still Hashem's love is with us. Ketiv Natan Velo Katav Hisriach. It says that Hashem gave, not that he rotted or something much more negative. Now, the way it looks like to read it is that the Gemara here wants to interchange the word Natan and Masriach. That's the way Rashi reads it. That he says, Afopisha Mikrab Misapir Kenutainu, that even though the Pasuk is speaking about something that is negative about us, Hera Lana Lashon Chiba, it's still spoke in a soft manner, Tzolochtiv Hisriach, because it says that Hashem Natan, he moved away his fragrance, gave it, instead of saying that Hashem let the fragrance go bad, become putrid. Tosfot says that's not exactly what it means. He says that Masriach is Lashon Miguneh, that is a negative Lashon. Not that they wanted to opt to say something Masriach in the Pasuk, but rather, Pasuk could have said something that was much more strong. And instead of using the word Natan, it could have used Azav, that he left. But it gave a soft term, Natan, instead of Azav. And that's why Chavivuto, that's why Hashem, we see His love is still with us, because He didn't use a terminology or a negative term that would have been much stronger and implied something negative, Umasriach. Not that literally you would use the word Masriach, but something that would have been a stronger language of God leaving us. Tanrabanan. So here, the girsa probably should be Ne'alavim. Those that are Ne'alavim, that people are chutzpedik towards them, that treat them poorly, the Einan Ovim, but they themselves do not act with chutzpah or disparaging towards others. Shomim Kharpatam, they hear their shame, their embarrassment, they are spoken about in a detrimental or negative manner, the Einan Mishivim, and they do not respond. Osim Me'ava, they act out of love, Usmechim Bisurim, and they are happy with the Yisurim. Rashi comments here, the Yisurim that we're talking about are what's mentioned in the early part of the statement, that they are ne'alavim, and that they shomim cherpatam. They listen to those that disparage them, and they allow those that have chutzpah towards them and embarrass them, they let them go. They let it roll off their shoulders. That is people who do me'ava and enjoy the yisurim. Alema katuv omer, and the pasuk says, v'olavav k'tzeit ha'shemesh b'gvurato. Those that are beloved to Hashem, this is the tail end of Shirat Vorah, those that are beloved to Hashem are like the sun when it comes out in all its strength. Meaning that Hashem looks favorably upon people like this, which is that one should be able or to accept those disparaging remarks, to be embarrassed and allow people to do that and not return the favor and not act in the same way. And those people Hashem loves, because that is the midah that Hashem looks for, that is midat anivut, accepting of that which happens to you. Samar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv, what is meant by Hashem itain omer ha mivasrot tzavarav, that when Hashem gives the word, speaks, ha mivasrot, great is the company of those that bear the tidings. There are many people bear the tidings or the word of Hashem. Kol dibur v'dibur sheyatza mipi ha-gvura, every word that left Hashem's mouth, nechlach l'shivim l'shonot, split into 70 languages. The idea being that Torah, or the Mamad HaSinai, when the Torah was given, was not just a particularistic event, but rather a global event. That the Torah is given and has meaning for the whole world. It's given in Shivim Lashonot, in all the 70 languages, meaning that it has application and meaning for everyone in the world. Even though it seems to be an event that is parochial to Bnei Yisrael, nevertheless, it has implications or worldly implications, and that is that it's given by Shivim Lashonot, in all the languages, to realize the relevance of Torah to the world. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Uchu Patish Yifotzeitz Sela. And like a hammer, now the Pashtura Pasuk is like a hammer that smashes a rock. Ma Patish Ze Nechlach Lekama Nitzotzot, just like this hammer splits into many Nitzotzot, it's not clear to translate, usually it means sparks, but over here that doesn't really make so much sense, right? It seems to be into smaller pieces, to parts. Avkol Dibur Dibur Sheyatzad Miparash Baruch Hu Nechlach L'Shivim L'Shonot, every word that left Hashem's mouth split into 70 languages. Now the... Right, so, but the problem is that it sounds from this that patish yifotzeitz. Yifotzeitz is to be split. So the Pashtura Pasuk is that the hammer smashes the rock and the rock crumbles under the power or the weight of the hammer. But that's not what the Nimshal that is written here. The Nimshal is written here is about the hammer itself, not about the rock. Tosafot already raises the issue and he says that it doesn't make sense. Tosafot raises this in many places in Jas. The Rashi just flows with it. It says that patish mitkalei kasela yado. The rock that splits by the hammer, the kamen nitzotzot, to many pieces. So Rashi just flows with it, as if that when it means over here that it splits into many pieces, it means the rock that splits into many pieces. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that just like this hammer splits into many pieces, not that the rock splits into many pieces. So Tosafot raises the issue, and the Rabbeinu Tam answers like you just did. Everybody says that sometimes the rock is so hard that it smashes the hammer. That the hammer breaks into pieces, that the metal breaks into pieces, and that's what's meant here in this mashal. Ukepatish yifotzeitz sela. He says the verb is wrong because yifotzeitz means that it's actively breaking something else. It really should have said ukepatish yifotzeno sela, that the passive form and that's reflective on the patish. So he says, despite the fact that the verb is incorrect and it sounds like the rock is being split by the hammer, in order to fit with the nimshal here, he says that what's being broken here is the hammer. This mashal is used in many places, that not only it says that every pasuk can be darshaned in 70 different ways. Shivim panim the Torah, the Gemara brings this as the proof. Ukvatish yifotzeit sela. That the same way that, again, the Gemara uses the stain that the patish and the nitzotzot. So whether you read it like Rashi or Tosafot, that it splits. One thing can split into many parts. So say, just like the Torah has many interpretations, so to over here, the word of Hashem split into the 70 lishonot, into the 70 languages. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Papa, my dichtiv, what is meant by pasuk? Shimu kinigidim adaber. So listen, because I have excellent, wonderful things to say. Now the Gemara is going to say, lama nimshlu divrei Torah kinagid. What's the excellent thing? What is the word of Hashem that is you must hear? It's the Torah. And the Gemara is playing on the word nagid. Nagid means a prince. So the Gemara says, "Lama nimshlu divrei Torah kinagid, to a ruler or to a prince." Lomar lecha, man nagid ze yesh bo la'amit le'achyot. Just like a ruler or a prince has the ability to determine life and death, they can put people to death, say that they can live. Af divrei Torah yesh bem la'amit u'le'achyot. So too, divrei Torah have the ability to kill and to keep alive. Hainu damar Rava. Rava says, "Le'miyaminim ba sama dechaya." But those that are right with it, it is like a potion of life. Le'masmalim ba, those that are left with it, Sama de Movta, or Mota. It's a potion of death. Rashi, over here comments, what does it mean? Le meyamin ba. Those that are right with it. So he says, Asukim b'chol kocham. They are engrossed in Torah with all their strength. Bitrudim la dat soda. And they make efforts to understand its secrets. Kadam. Hamishtamesh biyad mino shi ikar. Like a person who uses his right hand, which is the primary force. So that he puts all of his efforts and his strength into Torah, versus the small, which is someone who approaches Torah without the real necessary strength being engrossed understanding of the Torah. That's the way Rashi explains it over here. The Bach points you back to Samach Gimel Amud Aleph and says over there, the Gemara also uses the term of Yamin and Small. If you remember back on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara used it in a different context for whether you do it Lishma and Shelo Lishma. That's what the Gemara says, Liminayim Ba and Lismalim Ba. Orach Yamin Bimina, Smola Osher Bechavod. Ela Biyamina Orach Yamin Iko Osher Bechavod Leka. Ela Mimayaminim Ba Orach Yamin Ika Bekoshkein Osher Bechavod. And Rashi here translates miyamim b'shel Torah shemifash mishim tamehem b'dikduk borim ki yamin amyumenet l'malacha. They check into it carefully, like the right hand, which is dexterous. Osher v'chavod, and then maslim ba she'en yigim b'kol torchan. They don't work on it. Inami yamin ba uskim lishma maslimin shelo lishma. So you see, Rashi over there gives a slightly different interpretation to yamin u'smol. So that could be also a possible interpretation over here of the yamin and the small, those that learn lishma and do it for the right reasons. They are samat chayed, and it's a potion of life. Smalim ba, those that utilize the Torah for ulterior motives or ulterior purposes, don't do it lishma, or do it just for the reward that's there, then it's a sama de mavto. It's a potion of death. Davar acher, negidim. Negidim means plural of princes. So kol dibur v'dibur sheyatzah mipeirush baruch hu, they gave them two crowns like the princes wear, which is similar to the memra that we saw in the first amud. I'm Rabbi Shuben Levi, my dechtiv tzror hamur dodili ben Shaddai Yalin. That a bundle of mur, dodili, my beloved is to me, ben Shaddai Yalin, he will rest amongst my breasts. Amra Knesset Yisrael Ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Rino Shel Olam. Afo Pishe Meitzar Umeimardli. Even though you are afflicting me and oppressing me, Dodi Ben Shaddai Yalin. Nevertheless, my beloved will sit amongst my breasts. And Rashi over here explains, what does that mean? That Afo Pishe Meitzar Umeimardli Dodi Be'egel Shemar Hoyreid Edyacha. That they worship the Egel, and then Hashem says, take off the crowns that you had earned at Har Sinai. So even though Hashem was negative on us and made us strip ourselves of the glory that we had attained at Har Sinai, nevertheless, Ben Shaddai Yalin, Rashi says, that nevertheless Hashem gave us the opportunity to build the Mishkan right afterwards, and Hashem was Shorei Shechina. Hashem's presence was inside of the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan, we know that the Aron was found inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the Badim, the poles that were used to carry the Aron were larger than the space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And they pressed up against the Parochet. They pressed up against the curtain between the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it looks like, as Rashi says, the breast of a woman protruding forth. So that's what it means here. Despite the fact that Hashem was negative on us, made us, stripped us of our glory from Har Sinai, nevertheless, it wasn't so bad. He still showed his love to us by allowing us to build the Mishkan and rest his Shechina in our presence. Eshkol hakufer dodi li bikarmei and gedi. It's like a cluster of henna. Dodi li, my beloved is to me, bikarmei and gedi, in the vineyards of en gedi. Mi shakol shelo mechaper li alavon gedi. They're making a play on the words here. Kofer meaning kapara. Eshkol is someone who has a kol bo, meaning Hashem. Someone who everything belongs to him will be Mechaperli. And the play on En Gedi is Avon Gedi. The sin of the goat, meaning the sin of the animal, being the Egel. So Shekaramti Li, that I held up on myself. My Mashmadai Karmei Lashleshna de Machnishu. That Karmi means an ingathering, a piling up of. Marzucha Breder of Nachman Kiditana, we have the Mishnah. Kiseiso Koves. The chair of the launderer, Shekormim Alevet Agilim, that you pile the clothing upon it. So Rashi explains here, it's a flat piece of wood that has many holes in it, and they used to place the fragrance underneath the board in order to deodorize the clothing, and they used to burn the incense below under this board that had holes in it, and they piled the clothing on top of it. So you see here, the word karmi, kormim, is to pile up, or to build up. That's what it means over here, bikarmei and gedi, is with the sin that I piled up, that I gathered. And Rashi over here interprets it, Shasafti litavot elohot arbe, that I piled up many gods, that I wanted many gods, or that I piled up the sin that I caused myself through the egel. Amar Reb Shuben Levi, my dichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk in Shir Shirim? L'chayav kerugat abosem, his cheeks are like a bed of spices. Kol dibur v'dibur sheyatzami perechash baruch nikmai alei kol olam kolo b'samim. Every word that left Hashem's mouth, the entire world was filled with spices, with fragrance. So Gemara asks a very simple question. If the first word filled the whole world, then what happened to the second one? There's no more room left. So, Utsiya Gadosh Baruch HaRuach Meotzrotav, Shem brought a wind out of his storehouses, Vayam Avir Rishon Rishon. And he removed them for one by one, Shneamar, Siftotav Shoshanim, his lips are like the lilies, Notfot Mor Over, they are distilling liquid more, they drip liquid more. Al Tikri Shoshanim, Ela Shishonim. Don't read Shoshanim that are lilies, but Siftotav Shishonim, that make cause to pass, cause to move, that are changing. I mean, that he blew the wind so that they could replace the first spices with the next word that came out, the next spice that came out. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, kol dibur v'dibur sheyatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu yatza nishmatam shel Yisrael. Their souls left them the time that Hashem spoke, shenemar, nafshi yatza b'dabro. My soul left me when he spoke. Mechash midibur rishon yatza nishmatan dibur sheni eich kiblo. Again, the same question that we had before. If every time Hashem spoke, their souls departed from them, after they departed the first time, the second word couldn't do anything, they were already dead. Their souls already departed. So, what does the Gemara say? The famous, Ganata Horid Tal, Shatila Chayot Bo Metin, Hashem brought down a dew that in the future will bring the dead back to life. Echia Utam, Hashem brought them back to life. Meaning that they died at every word of Hashem, their souls departed, and Hashem brought it back, put their souls back in them each time. Shnemar geshem nidavot tanif elukim nachlatcha v'nila ata kunanta. The plentiful rain, tanif elukim, God will wave and bring down nachlatcha v'nila ata kunanta, your inheritance that has languished, ata kunanta, you established, you made whole. So over here too, the geshem, the dew, or the rain of Hashem, brings back to life, brings the people back to life. V'am Rabbi Shub ben Levi kol dibur d'vir sheyatzar mipir kosh baruch hazirel sere lechayem yudbet mil. Bnei Yisrael backed up 12 mil every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. 12 mil is the size of the Machane Yisrael. So basically they were at one end of the camp. When they got heard the word of Hashem, they moved all the way to the other side of the camp. They ran away as far as they could, away from this. Vayu Malachi Asherit midadidim otam. The Malachi Asherit were encouraging them, pushing them back to hear the next word, Shneamar. So this is a very big problem. The Pasuk that they quote from Tehillim says, Malchei Tzvakot, without an aleph in it. So it's not malachei, like the Gemara is quoting over here, but malchei tzvakot, yidodun. So that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says that the hosts of kings will flee. That's what the literal meaning of the pasuk is. The Gemara is interpreting it to be malachei tzvakot, that the angels of God, of the hosts, yidodun, instead of reading al-tikri yidodun, that they flee, ela yididun, that they encourage, that they push along. It's like a mother pushes along a young child who is starting to walk. So to hear the Malachim were encouraging Bnei Yisrael to take steps forward, to move forward back towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they really take the Pasuk out of its Pashtut and reinterpret it to mean instead of the kings of the hosts that are fleeing, that these are the angels of God that are encouraging us to approach Hashem. I'm Rabbi Shub, Malay B'Shash, Allah Moshe Lamaron. I'm Ru Malachi Asheret, Ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ben Roshalem, Mai Lo Yod Isha Beinenu. And as Moshe came up to the heavens to accept the Torah, the Malachim speak up and say, what is those that are born to a woman doing up here? What's a human being doing up here? I'm like a bel Torah. Says he came to accept the Torah. Amru lefanav chamuda gnuza shignuza lecha teisha meot v'shivim abad dorot. This treasured, hidden treasure that you kept in your treasuries for 974 generations, kodem shenivra olam, before the world was created. Tam avakesh litna lebasar v'dam. You want to give it to human beings? So Rashi explains over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had originally intended that the Torah would only be given to the world after 1,000 generations. But then he realized that the world would not sustain itself without the Torah, so he cut it back and gave the Torah after 26 generations. Because the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Davar Tzilat Fa Le'elef Dor. That he gave a command to Elef Dor means to after 1,000 generations. But we know, if you just calculated, that it was only 26 generations after creation that the Torah was given. So if it was given 26 generations, the Pasuk in Tehillim says it's after 1,000. So that's what it means here, that you held on to it for 974 generations prior to the world was being created. I mean, Hashem should have had all those 974 generations after the world was created. Instead, he moved them to before. So this is the idea that this precious Torah, which you've kept in your storehouses, you're going to give it now to a human being? Ma'enosh kitis kerena. Who is, what is mankind that you should remember them? Uben adam kitif kedenu. And man, that you should visit him. Hashem Adonenu. Hashem, our master. Ma'adir shimcha b'chol aretz. How majestic is your name throughout the world. Asher t'nachu d'chala shamayim. That your glory is upon the heavens. I mean, that this doesn't belong to the human beings. This is something way beyond them. This is up here. This is for the malachim. This is for God. This is a holy thing. I mean, that it should have been 1,000 after creation. All right, it's in a figurative sense that God, I mean, that the Gemara or the Midrash many times talks about pre-creation, which you would say, what a pre-creation, what does that mean? Right, but the pre-creation means that Hashem had something that was special. So that 970 Dorot is that there was something that was extremely special that Hashem held on to, allowed those generations to pass before the world was creating, just meaning that it was something so special. Right, not even it means passage of time, it means something that's precious. I would just leave it at that, because what does it mean, time, before the creation of the world also? Right, all of these have very little meaning before creation. The idea being that it should have been postponed much longer. So that means that Hashem held on before creation, allowed all that to transpire. Right, that's another Kabbalistic approach, that Hashem, in order to create this world, created the world, destroyed, created the world, and destroyed them until he got to the perfect solution. So, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, Hechzir lehem tshuva. God says to Moshe, you're on. Tell him what you think. Give your answer. So, Amar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, mitirei ani, shemi yisrefuni behevel shebipiem. So I'm scared that I'm going to get burnt up with the heat or the fire that's emanating from their mouths. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kisei kvodi, hold on to my throne. V'chazor lehem tshuva, and respond to them. Shenamar, me'achez p'nei kisei, Parshez alav anuno. Me'achez b'nei kisei. Kisei there is spelled with a hey, not an aleph. But me'achez, the one who, in the face of his throne, closes his eyes, or closes his face. Parshez alav anuno, spreads upon it his cloud. So the idea being that Hashem protects those that hold on to his throne, that he places his cloud upon them, or that he's, those that are me'achez b'nei kisei, those that are holding on, from to the kisei, they are protected from the face. They are protected from the malachim. V'amar Rabbi Nachum or Tanchum melamed shepirish sheakai miziv shkinato vanano alav. From this, you can see that Hashem spread His glory or from His presence vanano alav, and He covered him or protected him. Amar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Torah sheata noten li maktiv ba. He said to them, God, the Torah that you're about to give us, what's written in it, says, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. I'm Lehem. The Mitzrayim, you're at them. He says the Malachim, you went down to Mitzrayim. The Paro, Ishtabatem. You were enslaved to Paro. Torah, Lama Teilachem. Why should Torah be for you? Right. Maktiba. What does it say in the Torah? Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim. You should have no other gods. Ben Amim Atem Shruim. Shovdim Avodah Zarah. You live amongst nations that worship Avodah Zarah, Avodat Gidulim. Shuv Maktiba. What else is written? It's Zechor Yom Shabbat Kodesho. Remember the Shabbat to sanctify it. Klum Atem Usim Melacha Shatem Tzuchim Shvot. You do work that you need to rest. Shuv Maktiba Lotisa. It says Lotisa. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. Masav Matan Yesh Benechem. You have business dealings. You have interactions where you're going to have to take Shvot, that you're going to have to take oaths and use the Shem Hashem. Shuv Maktiba Kabir Tavicha V'Etimecha. You have to honor your father and your mother. Aveim Yeshlechem, you have fathers and mothers. Shuv Maktiba Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignov. Kina Yesh Benechem, do you have jealousy amongst you? That it's a Ra Yesh Benechem, do you have an evil inclination? So Rashi says something interesting. Kina Yesh Benechem, do you have jealousy? Because Shatem Baim Ayadali David Tzicha. Killing murder is a result of that jealousy. So do you have jealousy that would cause you to murder? Do you have a yitzarah? Do you have a desire that would make you violate lo tinaf, lo tignov? I mean, miyado dulu lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right away, they admitted to, or they agreed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it belonged to the humankind and not to the malachim. Shinamar, because the pasuk says, it's in the same parak in Tehillim. It's interesting. It's ma'inosh kitizrenu v'nadam kitif kidenu. It's pasuk hey. Then it's like as if the Gemara wrote dot, 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 dot. And quoted the pasuk, Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shemcha B'chalaretz, Hashem Tanah Udchala Shemaim, pasuk bet. The last pasuk in that parak is pasuk yud, which again repeats it, but there it says, Shneimar Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shemcha B'chol Haaretz. That's it. That's the end of the pasuk. It does not have the last part of the pasuk that's mentioned back in pasuk bet, which is Nahut Chala Shemaim. Put your glory up in the heaven. So that's what the Gemara is playing on, that you see over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to change the mind of the Malachim, and now they only say, Hashem Adonenu, Ma Dishimcha B'chol Aretz. How wonderful is your glory amongst the land. And not, Na'udcha L'Shamayim, Loktiv, but that your glory, your presence is felt in the heavens, that no longer was the case, because the Torah did not belong up there, it belonged down with humankind. Miad, Kol Echad V'Echad Naseh Lo Ohev, Masar Lo Davar. At that moment, all of them turned friendly towards Moshe, and gave him over what they knew, or their secret. Shinemar, Alita L'Marom, you ascended to the heavens, Shavita Shevi. You took captives, L'Chachta Matanot Ba'adam, you took gifts from man. B'schar, Shikrocha Adam, L'Chachta Matanot. In the reward that you were called a human being, you took the gifts. So L'Chachta Matanot Ba'adam. But Ba'adam means with Adam. What do you mean with Adam? The fact that you're human, that's what got you these gifts. Because you were granted those gifts from them. The Gemara talks about this, and if you look, the Sfat Emet spent a lot of time on this, on the Midrash, the Darshan says Pasuk, you went up to heaven, Shavita Shevi, that you took captive, and you accepted the gifts. And this is the nature of Torah. The nature of Torah, that you have to take it by captivity, and also you have to get it by matana, you have to get it as a gift. Right? There's many Midrashim that speak about this. When we say every malach, we mean every malach gave over their secret, and the malach HaMavet, the angel of death, also gave over a secret, Shinamar, because later on in Sefer Bamidbar, when the plague affects the Am, and the people are dying after the rebellion of Korach, and the people are complaining, and they are dying, it says, Vayitenet HaKtoret, that Aaron puts the Ktoret into the pan, Vayichaper Am. And then he atones for the nation. He walks amongst the nation. He walked between the dead and those that were living. How did Moshe tell Aaron, take the incense and run amongst the people to stop the plague? How did he know that that would stop the plague? That would stop the malacham of it? The only way that he would have known was because it was disclosed to him. And when was it disclosed to him? In this incident where all the malachim made disclosure to him, gave over to him, the information, and that it was the secret that the Malach HaMavet gave to him, that the incense, that the Ketoret is able to prevent the plague, or able to stop the Malach HaMavet. Okay, we'll stop over here.